We are looking at just some practical ways that we can share the gospel. We spent a few weeks unpacking the gospel in John 3:16. We've been looking at how we can be involved in sharing the gospel. We talked about carrying out just our everyday conversations, ministering in the Word. We often think of ministry of the Word as being something that preachers do. And that's part of it. But Tim Keller, in his book, Communicating the Gospel, talks about that there are basically three levels of the ministry of the Word. There are just everyday casual conversations. And we're all involved in those from time to time. And in those conversations, we need to bring Jesus into the conversation or be mindful and intentional in steering the conversation towards Jesus. And there's a lot of different ways we can do that. And last week we looked at that as we're sharing the gospel, it needs to be something that we're enthusiastic about. We need to be convincing. We need to fall in love with Jesus. We don't need to try and fake it. But we need to have an understanding of the difference that Jesus makes in our lives, and we need to be able to communicate that. And things that you love doing and people that you love to be around, you just get excited about talking about them. I mean, there's just people that you get excited about. Our easiest one for me is my wife and my grandson. You know, get excited about those kind of things. But when we love people, we get excited about them. And when we share the gospel, if people don't sense an excitement about our relationship with the Lord, if they don't sense a passion about what we're talking about, they're going to tune us out because they're not going to believe what we say over what we present in our body language and our passion. So the bottom line is, get passionate about Jesus. And I hope as we spend time on Sunday mornings, as we go through these 4 days that change the world, I hope it'll change our heart, it'll change our lives, as we get passionate about this Jesus and the resurrection that we celebrate come Easter Sunday morning. And we celebrate every Sunday morning when we gather together. Jesus has done so much for each one of us. He has demonstrated His love for us in so many different ways. And when we walk by faith, He shows up in some amazing ways and does some amazing things in our lives. So there's a lot of passion that we should have, but for some reason, especially as Baptists, we've forgotten that. We've transferred, or we have substituted, I guess is a better word for it, passion for stoicism. And we are very impassioned or unpassionate people too often. Well, today I want us to look at an example of sharing our faith. And one of the ways that in our everyday conversations, especially when people know that we're saved and that know that we go to church and see a passion in us about Christ, then it gives us an opportunity to share the gospel through sharing our story. And one of the easiest ways and one of the best ways to share the gospel is to share your story. Now, I'm a person, I love to hear people's story. I love to sit down with people and see how where they came from, where were they born, what were your parents like, how did you grow up, where were you, what did you do? I just like people's story. And when you talk to people, you get to know them through their story. Not necessarily what they're going through right this moment, because sometimes circumstances are terrible, sometimes circumstances are great, but our circumstances and what our life is like right now is not the full picture of or the full story of who we are and where we've come from and the journey we've been on. I love to hear about people's journeys, and I hope that you'll develop that desire and just ask people, hey, tell me your story. And a lot of times I'll just simply ask people if I don't know, hey, tell me your story. Where were you born? Tell me about your family. You got any brothers and sisters? Tell me how it was like where you grew up. Tell me about high school. I just want to hear their story. I tell you, one of the most delightful things to do is sit down with our senior adults and hear their story. Tell me about your life. It's cool to hear about, you know, some of them have got some pretty colorful stories. Some of them can just tell you how things have changed. And it's neat just to sit down with them. And just in my 51 years, there's a lot has changed. But imagine, you know, somebody that's 85, 90 years old and you sit down with them. Okay, tell me what life was like when you were a kid. Even I don't understand. I blew my kid's mind one day when I told him, hey, when I was growing up, TV went off at midnight. Didn't come back on till 6 o'clock the next morning. What? We had three channels, you know, on a good day. And you had to go outside and turn the antenna to pick two of those three. Yeah. What? Yeah, we didn't have cell phones either. We had an 8-member party line. Who can testify you had a party line? All right, I'm in good company. Man, I was up a teenager before we ever got a private line, and I thought we was just uptown. You didn't have to listen to how many rings it was to find out if the call was for you or for Memo. Man, people have stories and how things have changed and their perspective on that change and all that. It's wonderful to hear people's stories. But the truth is, you've got a story too. If you're saved, you've got a story. And hopefully, you've spent some time just thinking about from time to time where you were and where God has brought you to. And that story is full of good times. It's full of some bad times. It's full of some spiritual highs and some victories. And it's full of some times that was just, man, just tough. And people need to hear all of that. Because, you know, I don't know where they get it from, but people outside the church think that Christians just got it made. You get saved and everything's all rosy. I think it's because we're really good at putting on masks and we don't want to tell them our real story. We hide the bad stuff and just tell them about the good stuff. So they think we've got, you know, we're just, you know, don't have to deal with what they got to deal with. They need to hear that our story is just like their story. We've struggled just like they struggle. We've hurt just like they hurt. We've failed just like they failed. But God is the difference. Well, if you will, turn with me to Acts chapter 22. And as I was praying about and thinking about what would be a good example, now this is a little bit different because Paul is giving a defense before the government, before the Jews, the ruling party of the Jews, and he's standing before them. They're wanting to kill him because some have said that he's committed blasphemy and he's brought a Gentile into the temple and they're just trying, basically, they don't like him because he's preaching Jesus and they're trying to shut him up. So Paul comes before these Jews and he just simply tells his story. And when people sit down with you, you know, the Roman road is great. Knowing Scripture is a wonderful thing, but the most powerful thing you have in sharing the gospel is your story. How God met you, how God pursued you, how God transformed you, and how God is still working on you to make you different. That's what people want to hear. They don't want to hear some big theological explanation of things. They don't want you to tell them about the Greek meaning of this word and that word and explain Scripture. That it'll come to that eventually, hopefully, as they become disciples and learn. But initially, what they want to hear is, what difference has God made in your life? And that's the most powerful witness, the most powerful telling of the gospel that there is. So let's begin in chapter 22 of the book of Acts. Verse 1. It says, Brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet, and he said. So, just pause there for a second. He used their language to tell them his story. We'll go from there. I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, educated under Gamaliel, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons, as also the high priest and all the council, the elders can testify. From them I also received letters to the brethren, and I started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus about noontime, a very bright light suddenly flashed from the heavens all around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting." And those who were with me saw the light, to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And as I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" the Lord said to me, "Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that has been appointed for you to do." But since I could not see because of the brightness of the light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came to Damascus. And a certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and was well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing near said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very time I looked up at him, and he said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now why do you delay? Get up and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And it happened, when I returned to Jerusalem, I was praying in the temple, and I fell into a trance, and I saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." And I said, "Lord, they themselves understand that one synagogue after another I used in one synagogue and after another I used to imprison and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of your witness Stephen was being shed, I also was standing by approving and watching out for the coats of those who were slaying him." And he said to me, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." They listened to him up to this point, and then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." Let's pray. Lord God, I'm so thankful for the story that you've given all of us. And Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, you would help us replay that story in our minds. God, we would revisit our life before you. God, sometimes that's when we were children and we think, well, we weren't so bad. But God, I pray that you'd help us to see the truth. God, we would be able to tell others how you have made a difference in our life. God, not so that we would be seen as something, but so that they would have evidence that you're real. And I pray that you'd give us the courage, the wisdom, and Lord, opportunity to share our story and to hear other people's stories and to let people know that you love them. Sent your Son to do for them what you've done for us. Pay for their sins. Take their sins away. And give them a new life. Lord, I pray that we'd be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, many of you have probably heard sermons talked about sharing your faith and telling your story, but tonight I want to take just a few minutes. Just kind of go through what Paul did, but then even more than that, I want you to think about your story. Because we can hear about Paul's story, and that's great for Paul. But people need to hear your story. And so as we go through this and we talk about the parts of Paul's story, I want you to think about those parts of your story. May help for you to write them down at some point. Just jot down a headline and then go back home and sit down and start just kind of mapping out your story of how God has been at work in your life. and the different things that he's done. Well, in Paul, he's brought before this Sanhedrin. He's brought before the Jewish leaders, and he starts out with brothers and fathers. Brethren and fathers. He addresses them out of respect. He's not mad at them. He's not upset with them. His desire is not to win an argument, but to win them with the gospel. And so he approaches them not in anger, not in maliciousness, and not in ill will. He's trying to win them, and so he approaches them in an unhostile way. Well, folks, that's how we need to approach people. We need to do away with this idea, this identity that we as Southern Baptists have of being angry Baptists. And everybody knows what we're against and knows very little of what we're for. We're really good at talking about how bad other people's sin is and how the world's going to hell in a handbasket and all this other stuff. We're good at talking about that. But when we're coming to share the gospel, the world doesn't need us browbeating them or using this as a weapon to beat them up with. We don't need to beat them into submission with the Word of God. We need to approach them in love. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. Why? Because he came to them where they are with grace and truth. He approached you with grace and truth. Now, truth always comes with confrontation. The gospel will always confront us in our sin. But confrontation can be done in an unconfrontational way. You know, you can disagree agreeably. It doesn't have to be an argument. And so when Paul is brought before these men, they're there to beat him down. They're there to shut him up. But he's there to win their soul. So he comes and he speaks to them out of respect, and then he spoke to them in their language. He addressed them in Hebrew. He wanted them to know he wanted to connect with them on some common ground. He started talking about how, hey, I love the Lord too. I love God. I serve God. You know who I was. You know how zealous I was for God. And you know how hard I worked to stamp out this way. And he began to tell them his story of who he was before Christ. Who he was before he encountered Christ. He was zealous. He was passionate for God. He loved God. But he was misdirected in the way that he chose to serve him. He thought to stamp out this way, this Christianity, the name of Jesus, was the way to serve God. He was very religious. Very spiritual. Says that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He says that he was taught under Gamaliel. He was one of the preeminent. He was the top who's who of the Pharisees at that time. He was, everybody wanted to be a student of Gamaliel. And he was one. He says, look, I know where you are. We've got a lot in common. I understand. And so before he ever talked about Jesus, before he ever tried to tell them who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, he started making some connection and found some common ground in which to work with. And that's what we've got to do. If we're gonna tell our story, we've got to make some common ground. And part of our story, telling our story, helps us develop that common ground to share the gospel. We've all had troubles as teenagers. We've all done things. We've all, you know, I can relate to somebody that grew up in the woods and run around barefooted all the time growing up. That was me. I can relate. I can relate to rednecks and bubbas. You know, because that's where I grew up. My dad was just a blue-collar, hard-working man. My family didn't have no whole bunch of money. I can relate to folks like that, which is most of the people that are around. But you make those connections by finding common ground. And part of telling your story is to find those areas of common ground. When you hear their story, and then you tell them your story, and you begin to find out, hey, they're not so much different from me. Yeah, they love the Lord. They live different from me right now. But all their life, they grew up like I grew up. They struggled like I struggled. They experienced what I experienced. They worked like I worked. So part of the purpose of the story was to find common ground. And that's what Paul did right off the bat. He worked to find common ground and make connection. But then in verse 6, there's got to be this, but it happened. This is my life before Jesus. This is my life how I was living it. And I thought I was doing great. I thought everything was going good. I thought I was serving God. I thought I was doing, and whatever it is. Maybe it was, I was pursuing a different career. I was doing something else. I had a whole different way of looking at things. But there's got to be, if you're saved, there's always a point, but it happened. This is what I thought before. This is what I did before. This is how my life was going, but it happened. What happened? I met Jesus. And that point is the dividing line. It's the difference maker. So I want you to spend for just a second, I want you to think about what's your life before Christ? What was it like? What's your story? How did you grow up? What was your family like? What was your church life like? Were you in church, out of church? Was church not even on your family's radar? Were you sometimers? Were you every-timers? Then think about, but it happened. What was your but it happened moment? I grew up in church all my life. I was in church every time the doors opened 9 months before I was ever born. We were always in church. But somehow, and I always heard the scripture, I always heard the gospel, we were always in church. But somehow, at about the age of 11, sitting on the back row of the church, on the left side, if you're looking from the pulpit, back there with a bunch of other knot-headed boys, Jesus spoke to me. And I was a pretty good kid. I wasn't perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But I wasn't disrespectful to my parents. I wasn't a rebellious kid. But God met me on the back row of a little Indian Springs Baptist church. And he convinced me at that moment that if I died, I was going to go to hell because I was lost. I was a sinner. Wasn't a bad kid, but I was a filthy sinner. And I needed a Savior. And at that moment, he opened my eyes to the truth of who he is. What's your but it happened moment? Would anybody be willing to share that? What's your but it happened moment? Yeah, right now. Amen. Anybody else want to share your but it happened moment? Anybody else want to share your but it happened moment? See, when you're saved, there's always that but it happened moment. And it's different for everybody, but there's so many people that have got similar stories. There's so many ways that you can make connection. But then after the but it happened moment, there needs to be some this is how it's different examples. Okay? If you got saved early, like I did at 11, My this is how it's different moments is God didn't give up on me when I was acting stupid. Okay? That's mine. But there's a lot of people that way that struggle with that. But when Paul was standing before them, he told them, okay, this is who I was. He made connection. This is my life before Christ. But it happened that Christ met me where I was on the road to Damascus, and he radically changed my life. And this is what he's been doing since. And that's where the rubber meets the road. This is what the world wants to know about. This is what the world wants to see in us. Okay, you say you got saved, but what difference does it make? What has God done that makes you know, not just that you're saved, but that he's real? That this isn't just some figment of your imagination. This isn't just some way of dealing with your guilt of the bad things you've done in your life. There's got to be something that we can share and some ways that God's been faithful, some ways that God has shown up, some ways that God's changed our heart. And that's what Paul begins to say. He says, this is who I was before. I was killing Christians. But now, God has sent me, spoke to me, worked in my heart and my life to take the truth of Jesus to the Gentiles, to all the world. First he says to all men, because he knows they're fixing to freak out when he says Gentiles. But to all men, and then he sent me specifically to the Gentiles. And what is it that God saved you for? What is it that God has done in your life that makes it different? It doesn't mean it makes it easy. Most of the time our examples or things that we can share, the difference that God makes is the difference that it makes in how we deal with trouble, how we face trouble. Everybody faces hardships. It's universal. It's the human condition. There are things in this world that are going to happen that are going to throw us curves, that are bigger than us, that are beyond our control, that brings fear, that brings stress, that brings worry, that at times makes us want to give up. Everybody faces that. But in those moments, how has God made a difference for you? Maybe it's in your marriage. You've heard my testimony of mine and Randa's marriage, the difference that God's made in it. I mean, we did everything we could to destroy it. We was doing a good job of it. But God. You know, maybe it's a financial thing that he meant. Maybe it was a faithfulness. Maybe it's a way that this is how I used to think about people. This is how God's changed my heart. Maybe this is how I used to think about somebody of a different race. This is how God's changed my heart. What difference has he made in your life? There needs to be some spiritual markers where you can look back and say, this is what God did. This is the difference that God made. And be able to communicate that with people. Now sometimes it depends on your relationship with them, how close you are with them, the confidence you have in being able to share with them. You know, you may not be able to tell them the most intimate things that God's done, but there's some big things, there's some major things, there's some things that if you're a Christian and if you're walking by faith, God is going to show up and he's going to give you some things to say, this is how God made a difference. And people need to hear that. We need to be willing to share how God has made a difference. But in order to share how God's made a difference, we've got to live in such a way that God's got to show up to make a difference. We got to walk by faith. We got to put his word into practice. We got to live a life that's different. But that needs to be part of the story, just like Paul. It's simple. We've all got a story. Everybody that's alive has got a story. But our story is different from unsaved people because there is always, but then it happened. And this is how things are different. This is how things have changed. This is how God has been faithful. And that's the part that people want to hear. They want to hear that their life is not so much different from yours. That you're not some super spiritual, got it all together, no flaws, no cracks in this mask. They need to know that you're just people, just like them. But God showed up in your heart, in your life. He met you, but then it happened. And this is how my life is different. This is how my marriage is different. This is how he got me through the death of my mother, my father, a spouse, a child. This is how he got me through when I lost my job unexpectedly. This is how he provided for me and my family when I just thought there was no way that we were going to make it. And these are the miraculous things that happened. God showed up. There's got to be some evidence. That's what people want to hear. So I want you, I'm not going to ask you that because we go on for a long time, I hope. But the next thing I want you to do is, okay, I want you to sit down and I want you to think about or write down, just jot down some what are some things, the differences that God's made in your heart? How has he changed you? How's he changed your heart? How's he changed your way of thinking? How's he shown up in your situation? What are those spiritual markers that give evidence that God is real and he's at work in your heart and in your life? That's your story. And it's what people want to hear. It's what people need to hear. Because it's the story of God intervening in the lives and the hearts of people just like them. Your story is his story. Just share it. Tonight, if you're here and you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have not had that but it happened moment. Tonight could be that night. God brought you here for this purpose, so that you could understand and know for sure that he is real. And he is inviting you. I'm making the invitation to you on the behalf of Jesus. Give your heart to him. Let this be your but it happened moment. Let him change your life. Let him change your future. Let him change your eternity. Be the best decision you've ever made. And for us that are saved, we know we're saved. We've got evidence of our life, how God has been changing us. Tell your story. Let people know. It's not hard. You ain't got to be a theologian. You ain't got to explain passages of Scripture. May come to that eventually. But the first thing they need to know is God's made you different and he's real because this is why. He's changed my life. Share your story. Listen to their story. Find common ground. We're going to take a few minutes for you just to pray, to think about your story. First of all, to thank God that you have a story worth telling. Maybe it's a story like Brother Rick's. He's kept me out of a lot of stuff. I didn't have to experience all that. That's what God wants. He wants to keep us from the pitfalls of sin. But some of us, he rescued us from those pitfalls. We've all got a lot to thank God about. So let's take a moment. We're just going to pray. And if you're here and you've never been saved, I'd love to talk with you afterwards. And if you're here and you have been saved, maybe you need to commit tonight to share your story as often as you can. Let's pray. Lord God, I do thank you so much for your great love. I thank you for my story. I'm so thankful that you pursued me. God, you opened my heart and my mind to the truth of who you are, and the truth of who I am, who I was. And God, you begin to transform my heart and my mind, and you're still at work on me today. God, I'm so thankful that you are in the life-changing, the heart-changing, the providing business. That God, you want to use us as poster children of your grace. You want to use us as demonstrations of the difference you can make. So God, help us walk by faith and not by sight. Help us pursue things that require you to show up. Help us to live different. God, I pray over our families that, Lord, our families would give evidence that you're at work. Our marriages would give evidence that you're at work in them and you are still enabling and changing and transforming and strengthening and growing godly families, godly marriages, marriages that last forever. God, I pray that you would be at work in our hearts to give us strength and patience, love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. That we'd live radically different so that people would be willing to hear our story, give evidence of your presence in our lives. Lord, if there's someone here that needs to begin their story with you, I pray that you'd give them the faith to trust you today. And Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.